talking about the effects of COVID here for a minute. This is really important to me. You know, if you've listened to me over the years, I've spent a lot of time talking about mental illness. I've shared with you my own stories of social anxiety, the period of time in my life when I considered the ultimate option. I felt I had no other choices. And it's always been important for me to share this with you. So first of all, that you know you're not alone if you are facing those issues. And also to know that the thing that made the biggest difference in my life during that time was actually talking to somebody. I was suffering alone and nobody else knew that I was suffering because I put on a really good happy face and I can pretend really well. And so I was going around thinking that I'm the only one facing these problems and there's no way. And I believe that once everybody found out that they would think less of me. And it was exactly the opposite. The best thing that ever happened was I shared these things. So please, as I talk about this, I have an ulterior motive, and that is to speak to anybody out there who is suffering right now, who is feeling that they can't go forward, who is considering ending it. I want you to know that I've been there. I want you to know that you are not alone. And if you don't have somebody that you can talk to about it, there are numbers that you can call, 800 numbers. There are suicide hotlines that you can call. If you don't feel comfortable doing that and you still need somebody to share it with, let me know. Don't do it in the comments here, but you can send me an email if you go to my website, jmcfarland.com. My website is right there. If I'm the only one you feel like you can reach out to, then let's start there. Because I'm telling you, that was the game changer for me. And I know over the years, because I've been willing to share this openly, that there are people who reached out and whose life was changed and as a direct result of me sharing. And now they go and they share. So that's the reason why I really wanted to focus in on this. Thank you for allowing me to take the time to do that. But this is another study. This is from the Deseret News. And I think we all kind of knew this was going to happen. But it's important that we recognize it because a lot of people are going through it, but they don't know it. And I didn't know it. I couldn't identify it when it was happening to me. And that's a huge part of the equation. Knowing what you're going through and why you're going through it is such an important part of the equation. And we're probably in a situation here where a larger number of Americans are going through severe depression and anxiety than since the Depression, the Great Depression, or World War II. So here's the story from Deseret News. Even as COVID-19 continues to show no signs of slowing in Utah, a new Intermountain Healthcare study finds a very concerning increase in depression among Utahns in the wake of the pandemic. Of the 4,600 patients who completed screening, nearly 40% reported new or ongoing symptoms of depression during the first year of the pandemic. These findings are significant. In looking at the first year of the pandemic, we are already seeing the mental health effects on our patients. That's Heidi T. May, cardiovascular epidemiologist at the Intermountain Healthcare Heart Institute and principal investigator of the study. She said, "We already know that depression raises a person's risk for developing cardiovascular disease and other chronic health problems." So they're not even talking about the issue of suicide ideation or all of the other problems that can come from depression. They're talking about the direct health effects of depression, cardiovascular disease, and other chronic health problems. She said, adding that the study highlights the need for healthcare providers to screen patients and give mental health resources. I think that this is also highlighting the need to be understanding, to not be so dang judgmental like we've become in our society. And, you know, I understand why we're in a place now where people don't want to share, because we are so quick in our society and there's so many trolls. We're just so quick to respond in anger or to judge. And I think that makes it so much harder to identify people who are going through problems and to identify real issues. The story goes on. Participating patients completed the screenings before the pandemic between March 1st, 2019 and February 29, 2020, and then again during the pandemic between March 1st, 2020 and April 20th. Patients who were identified as depressed during the screening had higher levels of depression during the pandemic than before. According to the study, and hospitals in Utah have also seen increased emergency department visits for anxiety. The study finds that patients with depression had a 2.8 greater odds of visiting an emergency room for anxiety compared with people who were not depressed, and 1.8 greater chance of visiting the emergency room for chest pains compared to those without depression. So I know that we, and I actually talked about this, I've been sharing a podcast every morning at 9 o'clock. It's called This Is Me. And I'm just sharing with you what I'm going through in my life. Usually I talk to you about issues, but I thought I'd give you some insights into what I'm going through, what I've been through. You know, it's kind of like a blog, but, and I've always wanted to do a blog, but I can't get myself to sit down and write anything. And if I did, I'm not the best writer anyway, but I know how to talk. So I've been sharing that. It's available on Facebook and YouTube and LinkedIn and all of the other sources and Podbean, if you're interested in listening. But again, I wanted to go back to this issue of depression, because I, you know, when I growing up, I thought like a lot of people thought, and that is, come on, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, you know, learn to cope and press forward. And since then, based upon my own diagnosis and my own life, I've come to believe that there is absolutely depression that is based upon circumstances, and there is depression that is based upon a chemical imbalance in the brain. I believe they are both real. I know they are both real because I experienced the latter, the chemical imbalance, in the strangest times. And I actually went in great detail in one of the podcasts. I don't think it's been released yet. I think it'll come out on Thursday or on Friday. But I won't make you wait for it. I have a situation where, in the strangest circumstances, I will experience too much adrenaline. And what happens is I start to shake violently. And my chest gets tight. And this is like anytime there is a, like if I know that I'm going to have some type of awkward conversation with somebody, and it, you know, I am well-spoken. I know how to defend myself. I know how to communicate in difficult situations. You guys know this. I know how to debate. I'm not afraid to stand up for myself. But in those situations, face-to-face, I will start to shake to the point where I cannot even speak. And it's been diagnosed as the fight or flight in my mind is overreacting. And it happens in other crazy situations, like in competitive situations, like when I'm playing basketball, or when I share some of the unique stories with you in the upcoming podcast. So I hope that you'll check that out. But it's physical for me. It's not an internal stress. It is physical. And in fact, on last week, I went and I gave a presentation for part of this day job, the tax consulting that I do. And I love speaking in front of people. I absolutely love it. I am more comfortable speaking to a large crowd than I am one-on-one with somebody. I love it. I have always loved it. When I was a kid, I would get up and I would bear my testimony in church, and they'd have to drag me away from the pulpit. When they'd ask me to give talks, I'm like, yes! I have always loved speaking in public. But the adrenaline that is associated with that gets to the point. So I had to give up. All I had to do was give a quick presentation on the services we offer, and I was holding the microphone, and I was shaking like you couldn't believe. So finally, I'm holding the microphone with two hands. And you guys know I shake already. I have these familiar tremors, and I think that they're related. Like, if you might be able to see it. Look at that. You can't see it on the podcast, I'm sorry, but I'm holding up a drink, and the water is shaking violently inside the drink. So then you add to it in any situation where adrenaline is involved, and I start going crazy. And my doctor says, you're producing too much of this stuff. And so that's, you know, and like I said, in the past, I've always, you know, thought, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. And then here I am realizing that I've faced this issue my whole life and never identified it. And, you know, I've come to believe that we readily and easily accept heart disease, lung cancer. We readily accept diabetes. We regularly accept that any other part of the body can have illness and defect. But when it comes to the brain, the most complicated organism in life, we expect that to just run perfectly all the time. And if you've got an issue, oh, just pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You'll be fine. I mean, come on. I've realized how dumb I was being. Dumb. Ignorant. Dumb. In that case, especially after I've experienced some of the same diagnosis myself. All right. So all of this is just to tell you that if you are going through something, don't let somebody tell you it's not real. And please, parents, don't make the mistake I did. I remember and I regret the day that my oldest came to me and said that she was suffering from depression, because I responded poorly on that day. And it affected my relationship with my daughter. And what I should have done was I should have been understanding. I should have asked questions. I should have sought to be a counselor and a cheerleader. And I should have not shut her down. Now, I have fortunately been able to repair that situation with her. But I still regret it to this day. And one of the most important things that I've learned is that when somebody, because it's hard, when somebody takes the time to express to you that they are going through something, please be an ear that they can listen to. Please be a friend first. Please be a supporter first, because if you're not, first of all, you're going to guarantee they never come to you again. And if you're a parent and you've set the standard that your children can't come to you, that is the worst place that you can be. You know, my dad told me all the time, he said, if you ever need anything, you come to me and I'll take care of you. And the first time that I went to him and he brushed me off, I knew that what he was saying to me was a load of crap. And similarly, if a parent says to you, oh, you can tell me anything, I promise I won't be mad. And then the first time your child comes to you and they tell you something, you flip out on them. What you're telling them is you were a liar and they can't come to you. So as we talk about mental health and the side effects of COVID on our society, we need to be listeners. We need to open our hearts and our minds, because you may not think it's real, but it is. It's real because that person is going through it. That doesn't mean it's chemical. That doesn't mean it's not. But if somebody takes the time to share it with you, It is real. It is real enough that they've gone outside of themselves to share it. And how you respond in that moment could define your relationship for life. It could also lead that person down a path where they never want to tell anybody again. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard that story from when people share their thoughts with me. And I'm like, have you told somebody? Yeah, I told my spouse and he ripped on me. Or yeah, I told my parents and they told me to just suck it up. And so they decided they're never going to go to anybody again. You may only have one shot. You may only have one chance. So please, in that circumstance, please be a listener and ask questions. And you don't have to have the answer. But you can say, let's get help. Let's talk about it. Let's talk to somebody else about it. I've become a huge fan of counseling. I've become a huge fan of talking about these issues. The times in my life that were the hardest were times when I felt alone and I was unwilling to share what I was going through. And what I learned is I was fighting a battle that I didn't need to fight on my own because I was surrounded by loved ones. Now, not everybody is. But there are other people who can love you even though they don't know you. And there are other people who can listen to you even though they don't know you. And I am one of them, and I am here to listen. And you know, another time when depression starts to really spike without COVID or without a pandemic is during the holidays. When people who are alone, people who don't have a good family dynamic, this is when suicides go up. This is when depression goes up. I can tell you that one of the days when schools get their most suicide threats from students, it's always on a day before Christmas vacation or on a day before Thanksgiving week, because children have to go back into their home dynamic. And those children don't feel like they have somebody that they can reach out to. So with all that being said, and I want to say hello to Revolutionary Bro on Podbean. I can see your comments. I can't put them up on the screen like everybody else because you're on a different system. But I do want to wave and say hello, and thank you for joining me. Some of the things that I think are important to point out here, COVID will cause depression and anxiety for several reasons. One is just out of fear and anxiety for getting the illness. The other is possibility of losing your job, change in circumstances. But one of the big ones is that social interaction is important. And this is hard for me to acknowledge as somebody who has a lot of social anxiety, and I am very comfortable on my own. Part of that is because when I was young, I didn't have a lot of friends and I moved a lot. And so I didn't form close relationships as a child. I built walls so that when we moved somewhere new, I wouldn't have to build an emotional bond to somebody. And it wasn't until well after my marriage that I started to tear down these walls. And so I'm pretty comfortable being alone. But a lot of people, and I myself, know that social interaction is key to good mental health. One of the commonalities that you see in people who take extreme measures, whether it's taking their own life, whether it's becoming a mass shooter or other type of extremes, one of the common threads through all of them is extreme isolation. They live a life on their own. And we live in a society now where you can do this easily. You can work from home. You can communicate with everybody through social media, and social media is not reality. and you start to judge yourself compared to what you're seeing on social media. And the other thing is that social interaction provides like a check and a balance. And it reminds you that other people are human. What happens when you're not around other people is you stop looking at them as people. You lose empathy for them. And they become objects that are in the way of what you want. And I think this explains a lot of our political environment today. You don't look at those on the side of the aisle that don't agree with you. You don't see them as humans with empathy and understanding for their lives and the commonalities you have with them. You see them as the enemy, as evil, as an obstacle that needs to be removed. And we're getting to the point where people are believing that it needs to be removed at all costs. And this happens in all different aspects of society. For example, road rage. Road rage, if you got in a, let's say you were a group of all your close friends and family, and you got in a car, in cars, and you were all in different cars, and you drove somewhere, and one of those people accidentally cuts you off or something, you are not going to go apoplectic over them as though they as though they made fun of your mother and it's the worst thing that could have ever happened to you in your life. You're not going to do that because that person's a human being to you, unless you have a bad dynamic, obviously. But when you don't know the people in those cars, they're not human to you. And they're all your enemies. And if somebody doesn't put on their blinker or they don't see you in their blind spot and they come over, they're not insulting you. They're not trying to confront you. They probably just made a mistake. Now, there are people that are aggressive drivers that are not making mistakes. And they frustrate me like they frustrate you. But I see people who get so caught up in road rage. And I'm like, if you were friends with these people, they would be human to you. And it's the same with internet trolls. It's so easy because other people on the internet are not human. So I'm going to treat you in the most horrific, ugly way. This dehumanization happens as a direct result of not being around humans. It's like I told you about I shared this on KSL when I was on KSL, that there was, I think it was in Kansas City. I'm not sure I remember exactly. But there was going to be a Black Lives Matter rally. And somebody got together and they said, instead of having a rally, why don't you have a breakfast between the police officers and the activists? And so they agreed. And so they had a breakfast where they sat down and they ate together. It was amazing. Because suddenly, police officers are not just people wearing blue who are out to kill you or to profile you. And suddenly Black Lives Matter protesters have a name and a face and a life. And suddenly you have commonalities. And this is what we're missing in every aspect of life right now. We get ourselves into these echo chambers, right? And instead of just disagreeing with a president, for example, we say, let's go Brandon. We use profanity. It's hate. It's hate. But I'm just going to guess that so many of those people, that if they had grown up around Joe Biden, if they had regular interaction with him, it wouldn't be the same. It just wouldn't be the same. And I think that goes for just about every situation where we have amazing conflict and hate. More often than not, it comes because we do not see the other side as human. They are obstacles to us. They are pawns that need to be removed. David says, this is why I This is why I hate divisive politics. Heather says, please don't say socializing is necessary. It's too hard. I've shared with you all the things that I do and that my wife does for me to because socializing is not easy for me. But I know that it's healthy. And it's one of those things where going in, I get anxiety about it and I dread it and I don't want to do it. But just about every time, once it's done, I'm glad I did it. And I feel better as a result of it, right? So I totally feel you, Heather. I totally get it. And that's just kind of been my journey. But when you have a pandemic on top of the self-isolation that we already do, on top of the compartmentalization that we already do, and suddenly you're at home, and I got to tell you, socializing on Zoom is not the same. It is not the same dynamic. And we should not seek to replace it that way. We shouldn't. Bunty is joining us on Podbean. Bunty, thanks for joining us. I can see your comments. Everybody else can't because you're on a different system, but I just want to say hello and let you know I can see you, and I'm glad that you are here. We're talking about the depression that is happening in the state of Utah. I'm sure it's happening nationally as a result of the pandemic, and I'm talking about how I believe a huge part of it is not just the anxiety about getting the virus or the financial difficulties, it's the lack of social interaction that is so key to good mental health. And how when you look at people who have made extreme choices in their lives, oftentimes they self-isolate or they just isolate in general. And then when you add the toxicity of our politics to that, you add the toxicity of the pandemic and whether or not it's real and whether or not the vaccines are viable and it's this grand conspiracy. Wow. I mean, talk about something that is going to shape generations to come. And I think just like World War II and the aftermath and the Great Depression shaped what we now label to be the greatest generation, I think the pandemic will shape those of us who have been through it, and especially our children, in ways that we cannot see and cannot know. But I think it's so important for people to realize if you are feeling this level of depression, please talk to somebody. Please share it. And if you don't get a positive response, don't stop there. Don't stop until you get somebody who will listen. Please know you're not alone. Listen to this story. Huge number of Utahns are facing this right now. You don't have to face it alone. We need to, it's one of the things that I lament. Like, you know, we all go to church in this community, and what we do is we put on the perception that we're all doing fine. And it's only when people are willing to share what they're going through that you can actually provide service to them. It's only, you know, I often wish that instead of going to church and talking about how blessed we are, that we talk about how crap our lives are, you know, that there should be one meeting a month where we just dish, we just unload, you know. So that there's not this perception that everybody that I'm sitting around is not going through anything. They're all smiling. They all look fantastic. And we do it at work too. Not that I want people unloading at work, but we all kind of put on this, you know, we all kind of put on this, this air that everything's great. And it's only when we share that people can help us. Endoc is how you pronounce your name. Thank you for liking the stream. Ashley says it's her birthday. Hey, Ashley, happy birthday. Haven't seen you here in the comments before. Thank you for joining us. So that's why I wanted to share this story. If you are facing unusual depression, please know you're not alone. And please know that you can share it or you should share it, that's the key. That's the key. Talking about it is so important. And please remember, if somebody takes the time to share it with you, please, please be a friend. Please be an ear. Sometimes you don't have to have an answer. Just listening, understanding, being sympathetic. Sometimes that's all it takes. And if you shut them down for that, they're not going to come back to you. And they may go down a path. They may decide, well, I tried to talk to somebody about it and it didn't work. And so now I have to face this on my own. And that's terrible. That is terrible. Ashley says, my boyfriend just broke up with me. I'm sorry, Ashley. That is on your birthday? That's not right. Do I have any advice? My advice is to push forward. Push forward and share. And you're sharing right now. And know that there is much better ahead of you. And that may be hard at this moment to see, but there is. There is. And so that's my birthday wish for you, that you can endure this and that you can hang on. And sometimes it's just time. But with each new day, this is something I can promise you, with each new day, it'll get a little bit easier. It will. David says, I have the same disease running in my family as our mutual friend, Mo Pratt. I felt compelled to let people know that I decided to be tested, and I am so glad I did, because the outpouring of love, support, and prayers gave us such strength and courage to go through with the test. David, thank you so much for sharing. Mo Pratt, Morgan Pratt, is my former producer on KSL. She left KSL and joined me in my run for Congress. She was my communications director. David, I'm sure you won't mind me sharing that the disease you're talking about is Huntington's, and it is deadly, and it creates. I'm not going to claim to know a huge amount about it, but Morgan has been very vocal about it, and basically it creates early onset dementia. You start out with memory loss, and in your 30s, you can completely lose all of your faculties and then pass away from it. And Morgan has set about trying to raise money for it. She has a great attitude about it. She has changed lives. It sounds like she has changed yours, David. And, you know, I used to think this, David, as we talk about this, I used to think that well wishes from people you don't know, I used to think they were hollow. And we've talked about how I've grown and progressed, and I've shared with you on this stream tonight how I've grown and progressed. And I used to think that it was hollow when people, oh, I'm thinking about you, I'm praying for you. And I called it slacktivism, even had a word for it. And then my nephew went missing. And most of you know the story. My nephew, Mason Smith, 17 years old, walked out the door to go to high school that day and was never heard of or seen of again. And that was about 5 years ago, completely disappeared. And during this time, as we were searching for him, the outpouring from you was unbelievable. And I can't tell you how much it strengthened me. It chokes me up even now talking about it. And so if I ever said that to you, I apologize, because it is powerful. It is powerful from people you haven't met. Imagine how powerful it can be from people who you know. And David is experiencing that. Ashley says, I'm going to go have a good day. Thanks for the advice. Hope you have a good Thanksgiving. Best of luck and stay safe. The same to you. Let's see, on Podbean, Revolutionary Bro says, I think The key factor is the depression. In depression is trust. People don't trust the government. People don't trust politicians. People don't trust the media. And people don't trust each other. I think trust is a huge part of that. I shared a story recently, and in fact, it's in my newsfeed. There's another story. If you click on the description of this stream, all the stories that I bring up, there's a link to them. And one of them is how those who believe in conspiracy theories face much higher levels of depression and physical health issues. Just like this story I'm sharing with you talks about, not the negative impact of the depression itself, but the physical impact of depression, cardiovascular disease, and those types of things. So what's not important is when somebody's talking to you and sharing with you what they're going through, the least important thing is whether or not it's diagnosable or whether it's chemical. The most important thing is that it's real to them. And because it's real to them, it can have dire physical effects to their health, and it can lead them down paths that there is no return from. So don't think about, is this legit? What makes it legit is they are experiencing it, and that's all you need to know. So be a friend. Be a friend. And be a listener. And help them find solutions. Amy says on Facebook, I have a good friend whose husband has Huntington's. It's a brutal disease. It's been a long 20-year process. These folks and family dealing with it need a lot of support. I absolutely agree with you. Jihab joining us on Twitch. J-Mac and a burning log. Let the good times roll. Hi, everybody. Jihab, thanks for joining us. David says, we are fortunate to test negative, but Morgan is a huge asset to the Huntington's disease community in Utah. She has been a huge asset to my life, David. She is one of the brightest lights I've ever known. She is somebody, I miss her. I miss her energy and her joy every single day. I could not have run for Congress without her. And she just is charging forward to find an answer. Jill joining us on Podbean. Hey, Jill, thanks for joining us. And again, don't be disappointed if I can't put your comments on the screen. Oh, actually, I forget. I did have a way. Do you guys have a minute? Let me... No. Oh, I had it before and I don't now. We haven't got a lot of comments from Podbean Live, but I haven't been doing it until recently. I will promise you guys on Podbean, I'll get a way to get your comments on the screen. But right now, I can see them and I can respond to them and I can share them with everybody else. And again, we've been talking about the depression being caused by COVID in the state of Utah. But more than that, focusing on our response to it, either if we're going through it or if somebody we know confides in us that they are going through it. And just really want to share that the best thing you can do if you're going through it is to share. And the best thing you can do if somebody's sharing it is to listen. I have made mistakes on both ends of that equation that I regret. And so I think that we can go a long way in helping people out. I don't know that we can resolve things with the pandemic. I think we're still six months to a year out before we get any real sense of normalcy. We're getting warnings right now that the winter is going to cause things to spike with the Delta variant. So unfortunately, I think we're going to have to buckle down again a little bit more. Which means we need to become better friends to people. We need to become more understanding. We need to chase the toxicity away from our lives. Because if not, it can affect our health and it can get a lot uglier than that. Jill says, my husband passed from COVID almost a year ago. He passed November 25th. Wow, Jill, thank you. Thank you for your willingness to share that with us. And I'm so sorry to hear about that. Again, Jill is on Podbean. And that's the other part of the depression we didn't talk about, the depression of losing loved ones. This has hit families hard. And so, I just hope that we can be there for people. You know, that's one of the things I've lamented about the leadership that we've experienced when it comes to COVID, that leadership was divisive instead of unifying. And when you look back at the history of this country and you look back at our proudest moments, you will find leaders who sought to unify in a crisis and not divide. I think of Abraham Lincoln in his second inaugural address when he encouraged Americans to have malice towards none and charity towards all, this during a time when North and South were divided and killing each other. And he sought to appeal to the better angels and not make it an issue of hate. And I think that that's the type of leadership we should be craving for right now as a society. But we're allowing ourselves to be taught and to believe that there's only one side that is righteous, the other side is evil, and that we should hate those who disagree with us and even consider extreme measures to resolve those problems. That is my sadness in the pandemic. I think if we had the right leadership, we could be fighting this in a very patriotic feeling and way, and saving lives along the way, which is really sad to me. Lily says, "I'm sorry, it's Jill. I'm reading your username. It's Jill. My world has been turned upside down. I can't imagine." Can't imagine, Jill, what you are going through. I hope that you are surrounded by a support system. And I hope it's getting a little bit better every day. I really do. So that's what I wanted to share with you. And hopefully it was a valuable discussion about mental illness and how we can do our part with mental illness. There's not a lot we can control when it comes to everything else going on. We can control how we treat each other, and we can control whether or not we're a listener and a support instead of just a pure asshole. And unfortunately, I was that at one point. Okay.